Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Are you stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace. We're concluding our study today of the parable of the wheat and the tares. And now I'm just going to read the explanation of that given in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, I have made the case, and I've showed very strongly here this week on Abounding Grace, the reason why there has been so much hardship in the life of the kingdom, the life of this rule visibly on earth in God's people, that there are two different kinds of people, and the Lord is describing this. There are the sons of God and the sons of the devil, and that reality makes for a hard life under the sun. Not only because we deal with our own sinful natures, but because the devil has his seed that is trying to disrupt and corrupt everything the Lord has done. And this is the reason why we face hardship and there's so much turmoil in the world, but also in the church. The church doesn't look triumphant today. It looks divided. It looks trampled underfoot to our eyes. And yet the beauty is that the Lord is building that church amidst all of this struggle and promising us that at the end, we will see it clearly for what it is, the great victory because of Christ's resurrection. Well, this is the reality, though, we're concluding with today. As one pastor said, if Christ is preached, you can be sure the Antichrist will raise his voice. Wherever the kingdom of heaven is showing itself with ears popping up on the wheat, you can be sure Satan will do all he can to match that with tares attempting to disrupt that growth. Wherever in the world you are as godly, next door the ungodly will be found. That is the nature of the kingdom for God's people in this present age. Now, I believe that two perspectives are given to us in light of this distressing reality to comfort the sheep. What's the first? Well, that's not hard to figure out. The first is that the tares can never ultimately harm the wheat. It may not seem like that when we look at the church persecuted, but it's a temporary affliction. And the amazing truth about belonging to the kingdom of God as a son is that whatever men do to you, he has made the promise that he will turn it for good if you are a Christian. Because the Christian is a total victor in Christ. He has purchased the Christian and loved the Christian and cares for the Christian and promised that he's reserved a place in heaven for him. And as we believe that by faith, we understand the promise that nothing indeed can snatch us from the hand of Christ. So that means that in the heart of our afflictions on earth, we must maintain this perspective that the Lord ultimately will turn it for good. That is the promise to us. But the real paradox to us is that it is precisely the persecutions that we face that ultimately strengthen us. You know where the gospel's making the most headway today, right? Not in prosperous, rich North America. It's in the third world countries. But the most blessed advancement of the gospel is in places like China. Everything being underground. We are a persecuted church and yet triumphant. It's very similar to the reality some of you may be going through. And when you're going through struggles and you're going through hardships and you're going through trials, you never see the good in it when you're in the heart of it. You think to yourself, what good can possibly come out of this? I'm in a mess. I'm facing something totally beyond me. I can't even deal with it. The problem is so beyond my understanding. It is then that for the first time in your life, you recognize how cast you are upon the mercies of the Lord. The strongest phenomenon has just happened. In your deepest distress, in your deepest woe, in your deepest affliction, in your deepest hardship, you have been forced upon Christ. And that casting of your life upon Him is the safest, strongest place of victory you could ever be. Strangest thing that it takes the humbling of a person to raise him strong in Christ. In the history of the church, it's always been the persecution and the false doctrines and the problems and the reality that the devil is about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour next that at the end of the day has actually strengthened the church. And I don't doubt that anything that you go through as a Christian or in the church together or anything that we have been through, even if the devil gets a foothold, in the end we are stronger. That is the paradox to the Christian life. And that is the paradox to the problem of evil and how everything in the end works together for good to those who are the called, to those who love God. But there's one last thing today that the parable assures us of that I want to focus on that should greatly encourage us as we press forward. And it's simply this. It's not going to be much longer. And I suppose this becomes a direct warning to the tares out there. If there's anyone listening today who's not a believer, the time is short. The day is at hand. And the pain that the believer experiences because of what the enemy has done, it's all going to be undone. Listen carefully to how Jesus explains the end of this parable. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. At the very end, my friends, the Son of Man is going to come. And his great sickle is going to be cast into the earth. Revelation 14 describes this. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, and he is going to separate, you see, the wheat from the tares. The harvest of the earth is ripe." And you see, those tares who lived in their days, practicing lawlessness, practicing evil, Jesus says here, will be cast eternally into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the excruciating pain. It's a dreadful thought. We don't hear a lot about hell today, do we? Most pastors refuse to even talk about it, but it's real. And the Bible says a lot of people are going to go there. And that is a painful reality to even think about. And so how do we understand all this? How do we mine all of this for what it is? You notice how the parable closes. He says, the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. The believer will shine, and the believer in Jesus Christ will never again know this place of sorrow. There will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. There will be no more sorrow. All the former things will have passed away. And we will dwell in a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. That was meant as a comfort for the believer today who want to know about all these terrors, who want to know about all the hardships in the kingdom, who are trying to process life amidst all the affliction, turmoil, and conflict. Jesus explains it here because to them, to their eyes, their ears and eyes are blessed to understand and see this, to be given the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus. It should greatly encourage the believer in Christ then this week that no matter what happens to you in this life, the Lord will keep you. He is your shelter. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But he's saying, be patient. Recognize this dilemma. Recognize that the Lord has this dilemma going on because he's giving you and others next to you time to bud, to bear fruit, that all of us, as Paul said, might come to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You see, we need to remember that. That's why I focus on evangelism. That's why we're here. We are light. We don't know who the tares are. We don't know who the elect are. Spurgeon said, if God put a yellow stripe on the back of all of God's elect, I'd go lifting up shirts and preach only to them who had the stripe. He doesn't do that, so I preach to all. I could only wish that every last soul hearing today would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ unto life. I pray for that. I live for that. I've given my life in the ministry for that. But I recognize there are tares out there. I recognize there are some who just won't repent, who have their lives hardened, and they are not only hardened to the truth, they are openly hostile to Christians, openly hostile to the message and the church. And what do I say to those who won't come to Jesus that they might have life? You are in great danger, my friend. You're like a muddy dog tracking mud all through the Lord's pure white living room. But I don't believe the Lord ever gave this parable in some fatalistic fashion. It doesn't have to be that way. 2 Timothy 2 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. My dear friend, dear listener, are you useful for the master? Have you cleansed yourselves from the latter, this iniquity and these works of lawlessness? You must come to the light. You must have your life exposed and let Jesus be your light and life. And coming to him, you will then bear that kind of fruit that is glorifying to God unto the salvation of your soul, as you are a good fruit set apart for him and all the good works prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. My prayer then is that since we all have no idea who the tares are, that all men would repent, that all would have godly sorrow which leads to salvation, that all would bear fruit worthy of repentance, that all would hear the name of Jesus Christ, believe upon him, receiving the forgiveness of sins. You see, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. That's my prayer today, that every last listener who's heard this broadcast would know this Jesus and have the ability to hear him and bear these kind of fruits unto salvation and to the glory of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website, agradio.org. We have a place there for you to donate online if you would like. Thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.